things that if we abide by, we are blessed, enriched, satisfied. Things if we just choose not to do, we just get the opposite of the blessings and the satisfaction and all the things that can come to us from your Holy Spirit, from your bounty of love. And just to have a place where we can come as Christians, come aside from the world for just a while, and just to lift up our voices together in praise, in adoration, and just to worship your Son Jesus. To have a place where we can hear the Word of God proclaimed from the Bible. To have opportunity just to follow through with what you're saying to the church today, and to be blessed together with ministry as we pray for one another. God, we are so blessed, and we take so many of these blessings for granted. Forgive us for that. And thank you for the refreshing that comes from singing your praises as we've done this morning. And thank you for the Word of God that brings refreshing to us too, as we're going to hear, as it instructs us into the way of life. For Jesus said, I am the way to the life. And as we open thy word, I pray we would open our hearts as well to receive this day in a very special way. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. While Disney made very famous Beauty and the Beast, it was Jesus who made very famous Beauty and the Yeast. If you have your Bibles, would you please turn, if you will, to 1 Corinthians. And while you're turning, I want to define some terms. We talk about beauty and the yeast. The beauty of the kingdom of God is so great, but yet it is tarnished by the yeast that Satan throws our way. Now, Webster says that beauty is that which excites pleasure, not only to the senses, but to the soul, which is the mind, the will, and the emotions. And the kingdom of God should certainly excite pleasure. God's kingdom, the kingdom that is within you, should incite pleasure to us. It should be pleasure physically and morally and spiritually. But yet there comes into our life the ability to put some yeast into our lump of lamb. And you recall what Jesus said about the yeast. It just comes. You know what yeast is. You know what leaven is. It's a fermentation. It's a fungus, I'm told. And it's used in the making of alcoholic beverages, especially beer. It's also used in baking. It's a substance that's used to produce further fermentation. It is that which makes a change. Now get this. Yeast is that which is anything in life that makes a general change in the mass. That's what yeast does in the dough. And so if we're going to see what God says about the laws in life, see what Satan is throwing out as yeast to get into our very being, then we've got to be careful that we're not impregnated with the yeast of Satan, because these are his tactics. So we're talking about beauty and the yeast. We're talking about the beauty of the kingdom of God and the yeast. Jesus said the yeast of Herod. Jesus' words were the yeast of the Pharisees. So there is a doctrine today of the scribes and the Pharisees that is going around, and it is prevailing. These are doctrines of the scribes and Pharisees, which in effect by themselves is yeast. For example, don't talk about Satan. If we ignore him, he will go away. Now that is a doctrine that's just born in the pits of hell. And the message today is in preparation for Anthony coming on Saturday night and on Sunday morning. We want to see what some of Satan's tactics are. Now this leaven or this yeast is always used in the New Testament as an evil principle. Always, yeast is used in the New Testament as a symbol of an evil principle. And Satan has his yeast all over the place. And if you ladies on the back of your little yeast packages, what is what you look at all the time before you use it? The date, the expiration date. Last week, Nancy and I were cleaning out some shelves, and we found some yeast. And I saw the expiration date, so we decided to throw it away. But people with Satan his tactics, which are the yeast, has no expiration date. They're just boop, they're just pushed out, and they have no expiration date. So why there is a lack of beauty? Got to get rid of the yeast. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6, 7, and 8. Now we're talking about immoral brothers at this particular time, but he says in 1 Corinthians, your boasting is not good. Don't you know that a little yeast works through the whole batch of dough? We're talking about in a little bit Satan's tactics that come into our life. We are the batch of dough. And a little yeast is going to work through the whole batch of dough. It's going to make a general change in the mass. So he says in verse 7, get rid of the old yeast that you may be a new batch without yeast, as you really are. For Christ our Passover lamb has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us keep the festival not with the old yeast, the yeast of malice and wickedness, but with bread without yeast, the bread of sincerity and the bread of... The context is he's talking about some people who have come into the church, and they were infiltrating the body of believers, and the body of believers were just sitting back, lackadaisy, if you like, and just saying, well, just come on in, we're not going to pass any judgment upon you. And the church was becoming ruined by the immoral impurities that were invading the church. Now he says, purge yourself, free yourself from it. This was, of course, going back to the old Jewish custom before the Passover. What would the ladies do? They would go through their homes. They would look high and low, and all everywhere they would have placed the yeast. They would take the yeast, and they would get rid of it. They would throw it out of their home. Why do we have unleavened bread? Why has the bread been baked without yeast? Because yeast represents sin. Yeast represents in the New Testament the impurities that come into the life of a Christian. Therefore, Paul is saying, purge yourself from it. And like the Jewish custom was in Exodus chapter 12, get rid of it. So what it admonishes here in 1 Corinthians is very clear, to get rid of all the immoral practices. But there's more. There's that little sin that so doth easily beset us, that little yeast that gets inside our lump of dough. A few books over, Galatians chapter 5, verse 9, Paul, again, writing about yeast, and he says something that you obviously know, but let's read it. Galatians chapter 5, verse 9. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. A little sin, a false doctrine can corrupt the whole life that we're trying to live. Participating in one of Satan's traps can just mess up all of our life, because we've let that leaven, we've let that yeast come into us, and it does what it's supposed to do. It makes a general change in the mass. If we want the beauty of the Lord to be seen in us, then we've got to remove Satan's yeast and become a new mass of flour or dough before the leaven of the Holy Spirit is put into it. So two things we want to look at this morning. First, we want to look at God's word on the subject. And secondly, we want to see Satan's way on the subject. Now, God has very carefully put into the word of God some laws. And of course, we all know what laws are for, don't we? Or do we know what laws are for? If we had no laws, we'd have anarchy, wouldn't we? And so God has set our life is full of laws. There are traffic laws coming to church this morning. There are laws where you work. Your boss has certain laws for you. There are laws where you play. Sports have certain regulations. There are laws where you live, things that you have to do. And there are laws for the church. And they're laws for the school. And they're laws for the individual. And when the laws are broken in any of these areas, there has to be a consequence paid. Now, you may get by with breaking some laws sometimes and not get caught right away. But ultimately, be sure your sin will find you out when you break a law. And if you break a law and you don't get caught, it'll do one of two things. First of all, it'll make you less sensitive to it, and then you'll want to do it again. Or secondly, you will be prompted by the Holy Spirit that you have done wrong, and then you have to make a choice as to how you're going to follow through. Disobedience to whatever the law is. And God has placed some laws in the Bible warning us about some of the occult practices that are in King City. Would you turn in your Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 10, verse 13 and 14. We're talking about God's word on the subject. He's given us certain laws about this yeast that belongs to Satan. And we're looking at 1 Chronicles chapter 10, verse 13. First Chronicles 10, verse 13 and verse 14. Saul died because he was unfaithful to the Lord. He did not keep the word of the Lord. We're talking about God's laws now, his word. He did not keep the word of the Lord, and he even consulted a medium for guidance and did not inquire of the Lord. So the Lord put him to death and turned the kingdom over to David, the son of Jesse. He died because he broke one of God's laws. Now, go back, if you will, to Deuteronomy chapter 18, and we'll find the laws of God. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 9 through 14. And here we find some laws that God says the occult is forbidden, which is to say that, you know, the law that God has placed in our land is being broken. And you may have friends that are dabbling in the occult. And that's the whole purpose of the second part of our message, to be aware of what the leaven is. Now, Deuteronomy 18, 9 through 14. When you enter the land the Lord God is giving you, do not learn to imitate the detestable ways of the nations there. Let no one be found among you who sacrifices his son or daughter in the fire, who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft, or casts spells, or who is a medium or spiritist, or who consults the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. And because of these detestable practices, the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you. You must be blameless before the Lord your God. Now, these are just word after word of the practices that equate to the leaven that is all around us that can get into our dough. Now, I would think that we are aware of things. Greg, would you pass these papers out, please? I would think that you are aware of these, but there may be some that we're going to look at in a little bit that you are not aware of. And when I ask you to help me state some of these things, it'll be in our minds so that when we are operating in the world and we see these things happening, we can say to our friend, hey, friend, this is not good. This is not good. And the reason I know that is because it is in the Word of God. And Greg, you can pass out the paper clips too, if you will. In the very center of the page that you've got, it's God's word is on the subject. It's the words from God that says what we have talked about, that the occult is forbidden. The occult is forbidden. Now, these are some words from God in the very center of your page. Number one, God forbids occult practices. Now, this is not something that I've just come up with or that is something good that I have read or heard. This is what I see in this word of God. He forbids the occult practices. Let's turn to Leviticus 19, 26. Leviticus 19, verse 26 and verse 31. Leviticus 19, 26. Do not practice divination or sorcery. This is the word of God. Now, the reason God says this is because he knows that this is going to be yeast for our system. And he wants us to have the beauty of the kingdom of God. Do not practice divination or sorcery. And then in verse 31, it says, do not turn to mediums or seek out spiritists, for you will be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. There was a time in my life before I knew this that I went to a spiritist, and I have been often, when I even think about it, like now, I hadn't thought about it until I said this, I was so remorseful, I was so guilt-ridden, I had to go to the Lord and say, God, forgive me, because it is a detestable practice. It was a time in my life when I wanted direction, and I wasn't getting it from the church, and so I decided I would go to a spiritualist. A man a banker friend of mine said, I know a person you can go to. You can go to the spiritist because I'm a Christian and that person's a Christian, he said. And he just threw me. And he said, she's given me some great tips on the horse racing. And you need some tips as to what direction you want to go in your life. You are between churches, so go to her. I went to her. And I think maybe I went two times or maybe just one time. But anyway, I have asked God to forgive me. Praise God, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from our sin, because I wasn't aware of this scripture that says, do not turn to mediums or seek out spiritualists, for you will be defiled by them. This is God's word. Don't do it. If we are involved in the occult, number two, a curse is placed on you, and the scripture says to the third and the fourth generations, unless that is broken. Number three, mediums are inspired by Satan. And I think about the time when Saul went to the Wench of Endor. And the scripture I read earlier says that he died because he went to the Witch of Endor. But this is just not Hollywood. This is not just downtown San Francisco. This is where we live today. Number four, dealing with the occult is dangerous. We need to go to God and not to those in the occult. Number five, the occult works against God. Number six, Christ has power over occultism. And I want you to turn to Acts 16, if you will. And we'll just read from time to time the scriptures. The rest are here for your private study later. Acts 16, verse 16. Acts 16, verse 16. Once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. This was not the Holy Spirit. She had a spirit which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. What she said was true. These guys are the servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned around and he said, not to the girl, but he said to the spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. And at that moment, the spirit left her. The story goes on that the owner of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone. Why? Because Paul had rebuked in the name of Jesus the spirit that was allowing this girl to operate in fortune telling. Christ had the power of this occult incident by the name of Jesus. Number seven, we can detect that which is wrong, that which is leaven, because if there's a question in your mind, you can ask God, Spirit, to direct you, and God will answer you. And the eighth word from God is, they just can't help you. That which is involved in the occult, all of the occult things, just cannot help you. And we will read Isaiah 47, verse 12 through 14. Talks about keep on then, it's sort of sarcastic, with your magic spells and with your many sorceries, which you have labored at since childhood. There are people who are involved in this as a young child, and they just do it all of their life. You've labored at since childhood. Perhaps you will succeed. Perhaps you will cause terror. All the counsel you have received has only worn you out. Let your astrologers come forward, those stargazers who make predictions month by month. Let them save you from what is coming upon you. Now, surely they're like stubble. The fire will burn them up. They can't even save themselves from the power of the flame. They can't help you, is the eighth word from God on your mimeograph sheet. So this is God's word on the subject. Now let's go to, secondly, Satan's way. And there's several things we want to look at here. And I want you to interact with the message. I want you to ask questions loud so we can hear you. And I want you to make contributions as we come through it. We're not going to be reading all the scriptures that are going to be given. We're just going to state these ways that Satan has of putting leaven into this world. And the reason people are reaching out for the leaven is that they want change. They want the power. And instead of getting the power from God, they are getting the power from the occult. And what does yeast do? It makes a change. People are wanting a change. And so instead of reaching for God, they are reaching out for spiritism. When we mention these, when I say number one, number two, I want you to read that one word with me. So under spiritism, number one, together, apports. Now this just means the transferring of objects through closed rooms. I want to list some things here, and I must say that this list is 15 years old, and there's some things we could certainly add to it. And I've just tried to group them to help us out in these evils of yeast. Number two, apparitions. This is a vision of a spirit in a strange and often horrible form. Now, God is saying this is, to participate in this is wrong. Number three, auto-writing. This is when a spirit takes over the handwriting and you are yielding your hand to let God write. Say with me. Number four, clairvoyance. This is the ESP. Identifying the characteristics of an individual through an object, work, or used, and the passing of information through the mind. This is something that God would speak against. Number five, ghosts. We know what that is, the appearance of the dead. Number six, levitation, means to raise or lift. Some of these are very familiar to us. We've seen them in movies or on TV. Number seven, materialization. This is the appearance and disappearance of material images. Yes, it is possible, but it is not through God that this happens. Number eight, seance, attempting to communicate with the dead or receive some information. This is what Saul did. And he broke God's law. Number nine, speaking in a trance. That would be delivering a message, etc., when you were just completely spaced out under the power of Satan. And number 10, telekinesis, which is the setting an object in motion. Now, people who are Christians can come under the spell of spiritism. It is something that sort of... some would gravitate to, some would be interested in, some would want to participate in it for the sole purpose of receiving power in some kind of form. And this, number one, spiritism, and the 10 that we've mentioned, all fall under the category of God's word when God says that it is against his word. And he says, don't be messed up with these things. The second part is looking into the future. How many of you would really like to look into the future? I mean, when you stop and think about it, wouldn't it be nice to be able to look and see what's going to happen tonight? Wouldn't it sort of be nice to know what's going to happen this afternoon or maybe next week when somebody, hey, I have a plan? Well, there are a lot of people that want to know what's happening in the future. And so to try to find what's going to happen in the future, Satan has got his yeast everywhere. And I've divided it this way, looking into the future under fortune telling. And this is an offspring to idolatry, believe it or not. And if you are dabbling in trying to see what's in the future in fortune telling or something like fortune telling, if you're dabbling in this, then the yeast is going to affect your change in your spiritual body. It is demon inspired. We will turn to 1 Corinthians 10:20. Probably only one or two others on this whole page. But 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 20. Paul says, just to catch what he is speaking, no, but the sacrifices of pagans are offered to demons, not to God. Now, some people say there are no demons, but people, there are demons today. They're God's angels and they're Satan's angels. They're offered to demons, not to God. And I do not want you to be participants with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. You cannot have a part in both the Lord's table and the table of demons. Didn't Jesus say you can't walk the fence? You can't walk on the peak of the roof, especially if it's just really sharp. You can't even straddle it safely. You've got to choose what you're going to do. And you can't come to the Lord's table and partake in the Lord's table and at the same time drink the cup of demons too. Now, obviously, when we have communion in a little bit, all of you are going to participate in communion, and because you love the Lord. So what is Paul saying here? He's just telling us that you just can't do both. You can't do this now and then go out the door and go to sacrificing of demons through the occult practices. Because what happens is, while you can be doing this honestly and sincerely, when you participate in these other things, then you're putting that yeast in your body into the kingdom of God, and the beauty of the kingdom is going to be marred by the damaging effect of the yeast. This is fortune-telling. It is demon-inspired. Number 11, say, astrology. You know, there's nothing new about astrology. It's been around a long time. In fact, astrology was around even before Jesus was born. Astrology was born into the human society in the early days of Egypt, I'm told. And so it was something that's been around for a long time. It is unscientific because the houses have changed. It's unscientific because a survey of artists in America who were born supposedly under a certain sign do not have any of these characteristics at all. And so when studied scientifically, it just is no, right, it's just not right at all. But it has some kind of a draw on people today. The Bible condemns it. These are the scriptures. It's a hang-up for God's people. This is the scripture. It's forbidden. The scripture before you. It's always sort of vague. And I just wonder how a knowledgeable Christian could break the law of God and get so involved in this. And yet the interest is so amazing, and it's just escalating. There are 24-hour astrological machines all over the country. 15 years ago, there was 12,000 full-time and 175,000 part-time people who were involved in astrology. 75% of the daily newspapers in America print the astrological guides. All I can say is that it is, when you're going to astrology, the scripture that we're not going to take time to read speaks about, do not go to the sun and the moon and the stars to try to plot your course. What you do is go to God and let God plot your course from the cross. It is something that is forbidden by the Word of God. And if you are a person who likes just to read the horoscope just for the fun of it, you know, you may never be affected by it, but there are other people who are greatly affected by it because they see in that what could be or what they would like to have happen to them, and they aren't affected by it. The best thing to do is never even look at it. And when you see it coming in the newspaper, just skip it. If the back of the TV guide, tear it out, or just don't even look at it. Don't be affected by it, because people, it is not my word. It is God's word that says, I, Jehovah God, condemn the horoscopes. So our local station started putting out horoscopes every day, and one of the men, not even a pastor, although talked to me beforehand, but I did not know when he was going, what he had planned, wrote KRKC, and he said, you know, this is not right, and printed out some of the Bible scriptures to the management. And so after that letter the local radio station received, after and before, they say, this is purely entertainment. It is purely for entertainment purposes. So that person who is seeking guidance by that astrology through horoscopes would realize that it was entertainment. And entertainment, you know, is not the real thing. Number 12, say, crystal ball, looking to the future. Many make decisions by this means. Which one? By saying entertainment, they are letting people know that it's not scientific, it's entertainment.
Well, I know that, but it's still
No, the radio station wants to say that.
I understand what the radio
okay. And so when a person is listening, when they hear entertainment, it may help some people not latch onto it so much if they hear it's an entertainment. It's entertainment. It's not. It is. Well, let's hope that we will not. If we hear it unknowingly, all of a sudden we're just speaking tongues. Exactly. That's a good illustration, right? Okay. I would think that astrology through horoscopes is one of the greatest messing up of our people in America today. That would be helpful, wouldn't it?
I wish it said the same thing.
Yeah. So see, what we have is God's word that tells us that, and what God has done is called you out as Christian people to hear the word and to proclaim the word to your friends. And when you have a friend that is really in this, you can say, hey, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but, you know, and try to lovingly explain to them. Well, the crystal ball is the same way, looking into the future. Number 13, the divine rod, which is used in locating hidden objects. Number 14, card laying, the tarot card, fortune telling for your life, for your plans. You have seen how this works by laying out cards and it's supposed to be interpreted as to what's going to happen to you. It is looking to the future. It is fortune telling. And then number 15, palmistry, there's a type of clairvoyance. There's prophecy, which is false. Number 17, psychometric. Fortune-telling powers are demonic. Spiritualist fortune-tellers and clairvoyants were subject to the death penalty in Israel. And wouldn't that look strange today if we went down and picked out all the fortune tellers and said, you know, you're going to be put to death because God says a fortune teller must not. God said a fortune teller must not live. Why did God say that? Because he knew the damaging effect of the yeast from that person into the kingdom of God. The New Testament takes a very firm stand on that in Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, verse 16, 17, and 18. We've already read that, haven't we? Okay. So, it was a firm stand. Yes. I don't know. I cannot answer that. Okay. I have no answer for that, and I'm quite aware of what you're saying. I have no answer to that. Does anybody have a comment? We know that sometimes it happens. I would think that it was not from God, but I can't say that dogmatically because some of the things that have come about from that have been positive. But there again, it's really a borderline kind of a deal. And I knew somebody would bring that up, and somebody did. Because I have no answer to it. I would think that most of the time it would be demonically inspired. But yet there was some good that comes from it. But there again, this could be, yes, like a vision. This could be a trick of the enemy, people. A trick of the enemy for that person who is doing it, who would then do other things to other people, who would be misled completely by a spirit. What number? What number? Okay. What Nancy's mentioned is true, too. There have been people who have been standing in lines of ministry and a person has seen a demonic spirit, like in the form of a monkey, for example, for lack of better tag, saw that on that man's shoulder. It was a vision that they had. It was an apparition of a sense. And there again, we're at a place where there is good and there is evil. Now let's go on to number 18, the zodiac signs on glasses. This is much like the astrology, but I tell you, when the Lord started dealing with Nancy and me about this, and this paper that you have is 15 years old, and I remember preaching this sermon, and I don't recall what the problem was, but I know Satan did not want me to present it, and I had a lot of difficulty, I recall, trying to be able to present it, and I said it wouldn't be very popular, and it was not very popular. I mean, from many, many people, because people did not want the truth. Am I to become your enemy, the scripture says, because I tell you the truth? So I told them the truth, and there were a lot of problems, but I do believe that the good that came from it would outweigh what we would call, negative or bad. Because we do have people dabbling in the occult unknowingly. For example, even your pastor had in his home some signs of the zodiac, and I was not aware of this. Nobody taught me that until the Spirit of the God started revealing these things to me. And there were people who had signs of the zodiac on earrings and rings and belt buckles, on tablecloths, drinking glasses, you name it. And hopefully you have none of that in your home now. But there are Christian people who have these zodiac signs, and so they're dabbling in the zodiac unknowingly. The signs of the zodiac, like the crab, the whatever they are in the different houses. And that, of course, we list here as number 18, the zodiac signs have no place in a Christian's life. And I remember there was, I forget what it was now, but we had something in our house that I really liked, but it had this little sign of the zodiac on it. It was very expensive, too. I didn't want to get rid of it, but I did. I threw it away. I think it was solid brass or something. I threw it away because I knew that in my kingdom, in the kingdom of God in me, that I did not, I'll use the word leaven this year, 15 years later, did not want that leaven to permeate into my body, because while I may not have never, ever been affected by it, it was something there that has been attached to Satanism and to the occult. And if there are things in your home that are used by Satan worshipers, by whatever the occult is in its stretched out definition, if there are things in your home that are used by them, then you do not want them as something that would feed or attract or bring to your home some demonic influences. Number three, Roman numeral three, I've listed some other heathen practices. Number 19, charmers, ones who cast spells. Number 20, divination, interpreting signs through powers of evil spirits. Enchantments, number 21, enchantments. Number 22, fetish. And in this is a whole classification. I have cross, hexagrams. Pentagram, but it was not listed here. The pentagram is really important. The upside down question mark on a cross would be a fetish. There are the hexagram. There's nothing in the Old Testament about a hexagram, but it came out of Egypt, and it became used by the Jewish people, and I'm not condoning the hexagram at all, but what does a hexagram mean? It means to put a hex on somebody, and it is used in the occult. So the hexagram in a circle, on a chain, or a picture in the wall, I think has no place in the Christian home. Number 23, human sacrifices. And I think probably our speaker Saturday night will tell you firsthand of some he's witnessed. Number 24, just magic. It is an infraction of the first commandment. Scripture condemns magic and man's rebellion. It's a turning allegiance from God to other gods. Black magic, white magic, neutral magic, mental suggestion, criminal hypnosis, magical mesmerism. When any of these forms enlist demonic powers, they are authentic cases of magic. Number 25, mediums, person who is a mediator. Number 26, necromancy, communicating with the dead. Number 27, procrastination, prognostication, fortune telling by signs. Sorcery, number 28. And did you know that the word pharmacy comes from the word sorcery? It means take drugs, mind control. It is a witchcraft practice. We call it sorcery. Number 29, soothsaying, which is strictly just fortune telling. Number 30, spiritualists. And I have here the word pentagram. Actually, the pentagram should be moved up to like number 22 and as a fetish. In fact, I remember that after this was originally produced, I had coffee with a pastor and his wife, and she had dangling on her earrings a pentagram, and well, I just blew my mind away, and I wasn't able to say anything because I knew it would be like casting pearls before a swine. But I knew the danger of it. I knew what she was doing. It's like a fisherman. You throw out the bait and you lure with a lure. You try to lure the fish into being captured. When you have something like that pentagram, for her, for example, on her ears, that was a lure saying to all these demonic spirits that are infiltrating all the air, come to me, come to me. That's why getting rid of all these things in our Christian homes is so very, very important. Because remember, the atmosphere around us is where Satan was cast with his demons when they were cast out of heaven. The atmosphere around the earth. That means the atmosphere that you're breathing right now has demonic influence, unless they've been cast out or not allowed to come in here. So remember, he, the Bible says, is the prince of the air. So we've got these demonic spirits. They're just wandering around, wondering where they can land. Number 31, witchcraft. That's the demonic control or the use of evil forces. Wizards, what's a wizard? A wizard is a male medium. A witch is a female. And you know, you may say, well, that's too far away from here. But people, there are witches in King City. They have a coven. There's a coven of witches in King City. And they are advertising on the marquee as you come into the city where all the churches. And when the sign was repainted, and when the church signs were all put back up by the city officials, they put the witches' coven in the very center of the churches, unknowingly. And so the pastor suggested, which one? Say again? Oh, it's the big colorful pentagram, the colorful pentagram that represents the coven that's here. And the one in Pastor Robles has a telephone number. If you want to meet with them, you can meet with them. This one is very secluded down here. So they took away the big round sign that had all of our churches around it. However, symbolic, that was not so bad that we, the churches, were encompassing around the coven that's in King City. So I just mentioned that with wizards who are male witches or male mediums, and the witches who are the female. These are heathen practices. Now, on the third page, we'll just mention these without any comments because of the time. On the green page, the beetle. Oh, I've got to say something about the beetle. I saw this lady in town not long ago who had this beetle on her. Oh, it's sterling silver, and it's on those piercing amethyst eyes, and on a nice chain. And she had this beetle with her. Now, she probably doesn't know, but maybe that's why she's so sick. Okay, how do you know that? Well, because we have documented cases where there are people, and I know this got me crucified for saying this before, there were people who had some frogs in their house, and they got rid of their frogs, and their asthma completely went away. And there were some that had some other things that in itself is nothing wrong, but the reason I got rid of all my frogs is that if this happened to a lot of people who got rid of the creatures of the night, which God says don't bring into your house, and they did that, they got rid of them. This one lady had a whole wall full of a collection of owls, for example, and she was deathly sick. She couldn't be healed by the medical profession, and she heard somebody speak about this, and she got rid of her thousands of dollars worth of owl collections and salt and pepper shakers and what have you, and she was healed by God. And so if this is true, which is true, then I got rid of all the owls that were in my house too. So if you come looking for an owl or a frog in our house, you won't find it. And you don't have to get rid of yours if you don't want to, but I would strongly suggest that there would be value in getting rid of this yeast. Okay, the beetle. Number 5, Buddhism. Number 6, the cross. Number 37, the cross, like the needle eye cross. And I've got to make a comment about this Anka cross. There was a guy who will not come to our meeting Saturday night. And his comment to me was, I do not want to come nor bring some of my young people because I don't want to let them hear about this that our speaker is going to talk about. But the party said no. In fact, the words, oh, get this, the words were, I think if you just leave him alone, he'll go away. Don't talk about Satan and what he does, or he'll go away. And we've all heard that too. And which, again, is a lie born out of hell. Who would want around their neck something that is used in Satan worship? Dungeons and Dragon games can cause some problems. Hinduism, I Ching, the moon and the star, sign jewelry, the Moonies. Oh, I got to talk about the Ouija board. Let me tell you. Listen to this. In 1892, a group of Christians came together in King City, California, and started a church. And we are the offspring of that church. 1892, on the West Coast, the community church got started. In 1892, on the East Coast, some people got together and they said, let's invent a game. We'll call it the Ouija board. And they started the Ouija board. For the first 20 years, didn't do too much. Then it just sort of took off. And I thought it was so interesting that today, we, recognizing our starting in 1892, proclaiming the horror of the Satan snare in the Ouija board, it was the same year in 1892 on the East Coast that it got started. And it's made in Salem, I might add, too. One quick story, I know the time is going. Kids were playing with the Ouija board. They were having fun. It was telling them all kinds of things. They decided it was time to go home. They got in the car with their Ouija board, and I guess the car was full, you know, maybe 6 people. And all of a sudden, the driver lost control of the car. It would not go where he turned. It would not accelerate or decelerate. It would not brake. He could not steer. And sadly to say, it's obvious they were screaming hysterically. And everybody was just screaming hysterically, what is happening to us? And they knew they would be killed. One person who was holding the Ouija board said, this has got to go. And threw the Ouija board out the car door. And when the Ouija board left the space confined within the car mechanism returned to the operator. Coincidence? I don't think so. You can read more about the Ouija board here, but it is strictly, it's the occult operation under the veneer of pseudo-Christian respectability. I was given a Ouija board when I was little. It didn't work, so I threw it away. Praise God. But you know, in 1974, somebody, I hope none of you in ignorance then, gave one of my children a Ouija board. And this was before God opened my eyes to the occultism. So we threw it up on the closet shelf and decided we didn't have any interest in it, which was good, which was of God, I guess. And then we decided when this was happening to us, so we got to get rid of that because we went through our home. We found the Ouija board, and either somebody said or somebody thought, why don't we give it away as a present? It's never been unwrapped before. No. We threw it away in the garbage can and got rid of it. If you're playing with the Ouija board, if you have a Ouija board, please believe God's word on that subject. Number 44, tattooing. And I do have to say this. If you have a tattoo, just confess it and ask God to forgive you, and he will. And when you see it, you just can remind yourself that you have been forgiven. Theosophy, the unicorn horn upside down. And I have to make a comment about that. How many of you have walked down the street and seen the unicorn horn on a keychain or around the neck? It is a unicorn horn, and it is upside down, and it is, oh, Satan, please help me with my finances. That's what it says. And I've never had one, but I have seen Christians who have had one, and some people who have had these in the past when this was first presented told me that they were getting rid of their pure gold or 18 karat gold upside down unicorn horn. It's number 47. And it was created by the Druid priests of Scotland and Ireland asking Satan for financial help. And then number 48, yoga. And you know, this list is not complete because there are many things that we could add in here. For example, the upside down pyramid. Crystals, exactly. It can keep affecting you like yeast in the body, can change the mass. But what we need to do is what you'll see at the bottom of the green page. We need to have these prayers. And if you have been involved in these things and you have not renounced them, although I think probably all of you have because this is not new to us, but I was just trusting there'd be a whole slew of new people here today that would hear it. But you have been, we have reviewed what we already know. We need to go through these prayers. Number one, in the conclusion, read with me. Wake up. The occult equals spiritual adultery. Destroy Satan's corruption and get rid of his influence on your life. Now, we're talking about yeast being an influence on your life. And you can do what the Christians did in Ephesus. They brought all their books that were on the occult and they burned them. Number two, memorize. Let's read together 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the later times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now, number three is sort of in keeping with what Sharon has talked about. What we can do is make a prayer list of our own friends and relatives who participate in some form of adult practices, occult practices. Remember, God loves them, but he definitely says what they do is an abomination to him. Now, the prayer of deliverance is one to God and one is to Satan. And let me just ask, is there anyone here who does not think they have taken care of any area in their life where they have been dabbling in the occult? And you would like just to say, hey, I've done this or I've got that, that you've not dealt with? If you have, we want to use you as a kickoff right here for our praying. If not, then we will read together number four, the prayer of deliverance. But when we get to the influence, we'll just have to pause for a moment. Okay, this is a prayer that we can make honestly from our heart to God. Pray it with me. Almighty God, I make confession to you that I have sinned and exposed myself to the evil influence of. And if there's something new that comes to your mind that hasn't been dealt with, just name it, tag it. And then to continue, I ask your forgiveness. I now thank you for it. And that's a prayer of deliverance to God, and God honors that completely. And then to Satan, we can say just out loud and just as forcefully as I can, let's do that. I renounce everything related to, and in the name of Jesus, I command you to remove all influences from my life, and I am closing every avenue into my heart to them. Praise God, Jesus is Lord.